Welcome, everybody, to the Monday Night Shiur. Thank you so much for coming. We are approaching Parshas Mishpatim, which is filled with halachic topics related to Nezikin and Dayanim, judges. I learned there's a rabbi in the city, Rabbi Daniel Sherman. We learned Meseches Baba Kama together, or at least a nice amount of it. And we joked that we would have a reunion. Parshas Yisro, we would for Parshas Mishpatim, we would get together and have a chazara like the Baba Kama Shabbaton, because you know it's almost like you know there's so much Tosha Ba'apeh that is packed into these psukim, every word, every letter of Parshas Mishpatim, and we'll just point out one pasuk this evening in the parsha, and in that one pasuk there are we'll focus on one Isser Midoraisa, which really is connected to maybe three Isuri Doraisa. And let's get to it. So what does the Torah say? Lotisa Shema Shav. Very hard to translate that literally. Al Tashas Yadcha Im Rasha Lios Eid Chama. So the end of the pasuk is a little bit easier. Dayanim are being addressed. So a judge should not, you know, assist with a Rasha to be an aid, right? This is the source of pasul edus, that a rasha can't serve as a witness in court. But the first part of the pasuk, lotisa shema shav. Lotisa shema shav. So what does Rashi say? Well, let's look at Unkelus. Lotakbil shema desheker. So one should not receive seemingly a report of sheker. Okay, now if it's talking about dayanim, so that would seemingly mean that if you are a judge and someone is lying to you, you have to be able to know how to see right through that. A judge needs to be in touch with the MS. However, ironically, that's not where Rashi goes. What does it mean? Azhara lemekable lashon hara. So if someone is saying negative things to Dr. Karp about Robert, so not only am I not allowed to say the negative things about Robert, that's lashon hara on my part, all right, Dr. Karp's not allowed to believe it. He's not allowed to be mekabel the lashon hara. So that's Isser number one found in this pasuk. And Isser number two, uledayan shelo yishma divrei baldin. So if, right, Adam is taking Peter to court and it's over a monetary dispute, I, the judge, am not allowed to listen until what? Ad sheyavo baldin chaveiro. Right? Ad sheyavi baldin chaveiro. Right? Meaning both baledinim. Baal Din need to be in the room. When I judge a case, I cannot hear Adam's argument before, unless Peter's in the room and vice versa. So does anyone want to just point out, there's so much there. What's ironic about this pasuk? It said, don't be mekabel sheker. Now, ironically, we didn't say anything about sheker, right? Right? Isn't that the most ironic thing? Don't believe in sheker. So what was sheker? Sheker is, I tell you a lie, and you're supposed to believe me. So lashon hara, is that a lie? Lashon hara is not a lie. Lashon hara is seemingly, by definition, needs to be true, right? And you're just not allowed to believe it. You're not allowed to listen to it. And number two, right, if Peter is telling me the truth, and I'm a judge, so why am I not allowed to listen to him? He's not lying. He's not lying, but what? Apparently, the very fact that what? That Adam's not in the room, that leads to, we'll have to figure that out. But just, there it is, of course. So Peter points out that, you know, someone who is trying to persuade the judge into, you know, posturing like him is going to want to take full advantage of the judge's ears before the party he's arguing against is in the room, of course. Yeah. Very good. So you're saying, so therefore you're not gonna go. So that's exactly this, right? Meaning
you're not benefiting from, in other words, the guy would maybe lie, but the guy's not right there.
Right.
But he wouldn't may is if the guy was there.
But may is good or bad? I mean, he wouldn't be.
In other words, if the guy standing there,
right,
like Adam said, you know, the guy would not lie.
Right. Exactly. Right.
He wouldn't have that much.
Exactly, right. Meaning when the person you're lying about is standing right in front of you, so you're not going to be so bold.
The guy says, you know, you want me money. The guy standing right there.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the end of the show on the Hashkafa point. Very good, Stuart. Right on the ball. So just to point out that, you know, the language, you know, Rafal Hirsch, so he spent a lot of time with Dikduk in his parish, and he himself, I think, wrote a dictionary, if I'm not mistaken, right? And he just points out that the Lashon of Lotisa literally mean, right, means to lift up, right? So when it comes up to lifting someone or to appointing someone, in the context of a judge, so it reminds us of Nisui Panim, to be Nosei Panim, right? That's when you bribe someone. So what the Torah is saying, Lotisa Shema Shav, meaning says Rav Samson of Hirsch, Lahachnis Esa Panim, Hainu Es Ishius Baldin. You, the judge, you can't Lotisa Shema Shav, meaning you can't lift up the personalities, you can't lift up the people into the equation when you're judging. So meaning if two people, you have Reuven versus Shimon, so it says the Torah, Lotisa Shema Shav, argues reverse, you can't lift up Reuven in the equation, you can't lift up Shimon in the equation, because they don't matter. It's Reuven's claims versus Shimon's claims. What does the Torah have to say about the actual content of their argument, right? But it doesn't matter who Reuven is and who Shimon is. V'lolis yachis rakel hanosei hanidon. So it's just a beautiful interpretation of Rav Hirsch, how he reads the pasuk, is that don't play up the people, play up the halacha. And that is sometimes very, very challenging.
Don't personalize it, objectify it.
Right, exactly, right? Don't make it personal. Yeah. Exactly this halacha. That's exactly right, yeah. Oh, baby, right. So now you get... Very good, yeah. So, right, so says Shlomo, there's got to be a limitation, because if you have a con artist in the room, and if the judge is so naive, oh, I can't lift up the personality. Right, so says Shlomo, no. A good judge needs to know how to look right through a con artist and say, you are lying. That's a very, very good point. So there is an entire simin in Choshen Mishpat. Again, Choshen Mishpat is really the major tone, or at least generally, the general association with Parshas Mishpatim is Choshen Mishpat, the area of Shulchan Aruch dealing more with monetary law or damaging, you know, those types of laws. And there's a simin all about these inyanim, where when you, the judge, have to really weigh out the cases. So, you know, as Robert was alluding to, you know, if one of the Bali Din is wearing very expensive clothing and the other one comes in like raggedy clothing. So, you know, you can't, you know, weigh that into the judgment to say, oh, this guy's chashuv and that guy's poor, you know, whatever it is. So Shlomo, that is a very, very sharp question. But what if you do know? What if you do know? All right. So I don't know. But, you know, seemingly, if you know, you know. All right, now where we're going to branch out here, just to before we really concretize, narrow in into which halacha we're going to be discussing, is that there's another pasuk in Parshas Devarim, which is very similar, where the Torah says, Va'atzaves shifteichem, ba'isahi le'mor shamo bein acheichem. Right, when it comes to judgments, the context of a judge, of the judgment needs to be between brothers, meaning amongst the people. So essentially, the topic we're going to be speaking about this evening is hearing both sides of the argument before you give the psak din. Bein acheichem. Bein acheichem. And our pasuk, as well as the pasuk in Parshas Devarim, serve as a source for the following halacha, that a judge is not allowed to open his mouth until he has heard both sides of the argument. Now we're going to have to see, are there exceptions? Other limitations, and certainly there are many hashkafic implications this evening at the end of this year. So let's learn two gemaras in Shas, which are really four gemaras in Shas. Each one of these gemaras is repeated at least twice throughout Shas. So the first gemara is found both in Maseches Shavuos Laman Aleph and Laman Aleph, as well as in Sanhedrin Zayin Amud Beis. It's more commonly known as a gemara in Sanhedrin Zayin Amud Beis, which we would have predicted, right? Which gemara deals with the halachas related to Sanhedrin and related to the laws of judges, it's Maseches Sanhedrin. So says the Gemara like this, Minayin l'dayin shalo yishma divrei bal din kodim shevo bal din chaveiro. So how do we know that I'm not allowed to listen to Peter's argument unless Dr. Karpa's already in the room? Tamin lomar midvar sheker tirchak. So again, very ironic. You have to distance yourself from lies. But they're not lying. But again, not hearing. Right, we'll get there. Minayin lebal din shlo yatim devarav. Ah, so here's the other side. So number one, there's an isser on the judge, but also Peter is not allowed to open his mouth to try to get me to paskin in his direction before Adam shows up. Because again, midvar sheker tirchak, you can't lie. However, Rav Kahana masni, no, it's from our pasuk. Now again, it does say in the Torah, in our parsha, lo tisa shema shav. Lo tisa shema shav. So what does that mean? That again, that you should not try to convince people to lotasi, the Gemara reads it. It's a play on words. Meaning even though in our Parsha, right, the Torah says lotisa, and that means what? You should not listen. So it's talking to the judge, listening to the judgment. But the play on words is that read it as lotasi, meaning you should not make a false report accepted, meaning Peter shouldn't try to persuade me as the judge. Okay, so there are two people that are being addressed in this pasuk. The judge shouldn't hear it before both Baal Din are in the room, and the Baal Din shouldn't speak before the person he's arguing against is also in the room. That's Gemara number one. Gemara number two is a Gemara both in Machos and in Psachim, a very dramatic Gemara of Amar Evsheshim, Mishum Barim Belazar Ben Azariah. Kol HaMasaper Lashon Hara, speak Lashon Hara, V'chol HaKabel Lashon Hara, V'chol HaMeid Eidus Sheker. So again, you speak Lashon Hara, you accept Lashon Hara, or you falsely testify. Ro'oy Lashlicho L'Klavim. Whoa, right? So you are fit to be thrown to the dogs. I don't remember the context of that. My two Bali Kriya here. What was the, where did dogs come up in last week's Parsha? La Kelev Tashlichun or so? That's why I don't remember. It's in this week's Parsha. Right. So in this week's Parsha, right, of course it is. We're talking about Nevela or Trevor, right? That's what I thought. You throw it into the fields. Right, yeah. You know why I got confused? Because the Parsha we're dealing with is the first Pasuk in Perek Chav Gimel. It's not the first pasuk in this week's parsha. All right, either way, there's a juxtaposition of throwing things to dogs and our pasuk. So you're as good as dog food, essentially, if you mess these things up. If you speak Lashon Hara, if you accept Lashon Hara, if you accept false testimony. So again, our pasuk, lotisa shema shav, so don't hear false report. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, losa se resh pe aleph. So it's fascinating because he puts all these Gemaras together. And what's the Issa Midoraisa? Says the Rambam, here's the Issa Midoraisa. A shofet, a judge, is not allowed to what? Shelo lishmoa echa mibal hadin, shelo b'fnei baldino. Right, so if I'm the judge, I cannot hear one party's argument unless the other party's in the room. This week's parsha, lo tisa shema shah. Very nice. Why? So here, now, what would be the svar? Again, so we already had one svar, that if he's not in the room, you're going to try to kind of twist my arm a little, persuade me, right? Or if he's out of the room, he's going to maybe feel a little bit more at liberty to exaggerate, to be more brazen, to be bold, right? Because he is not looking at the guy in the face that whose life he's trying to ruin. So he might have a little bit more poetic license, so to speak, right? Sheberov says the Rambam, Yu Balei Din Shelo Bifnei Baal Din. I'm generally speaking, these two individuals who are at a war, they're up against one another, they're not also hanging out together. So they're generally speaking not together. Why not? Right, so we don't want the judge to get a false conclusion. If I only hear half side of the story and I'm a judge, so it's not appropriate. And as well, so the Mechilta to the Rambam quotes, Azar Ladan Shalishma Baldin, Asher Baldin Befanov, and here's the second side of the coin. It's also, again, a warning not only to the judge, but the Baal Din, Shelo Yashmid Dvarav, that he shouldn't make his argument to the judge until the person he's up against is also in the room. Ulahazer Mizeh Inyan Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Okay, beautiful. And the Rambam also ends by saying, this is also an Azhar L'Mesaper Lashon Hara V'Hamakavlo. So, you know, as I pointed out earlier, like, Mamish in this Pasuk is so much, there's so much Torah in this Pasuk. Okay. So now we have to figure out, practically speaking, what does this look like? Right? Because it's a very, very straightforward halacha, and we have to see if there's any exceptions. Rabbi, you had a question? I hear you before.
No.
All right. Okay. Okay. Any questions at all? All right. So we learned that there's an Isser, we learned that there's a Rambam, and we learned a few Gemaras. Let's learn the Shulchan Aruch. Here it is. Now the Rama will be the one who opens it up, and then we'll have to figure out how open we can be. Asur l'dayan l'shmoa divrei bal din ha'echad shelo b'fnei bal din chaverom. Straightforward. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I, the judge, cannot hear one party side of the argument unless the other person is in the room. Okay, now here's where the Rama comes. Here it is. Okay. Our first flexibility of the evening. And this has come up many, 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 many times. So, can anyone figure out a way to manipulate the system? Let's say you're really convinced that you're right. How are you going to manipulate the system? How are you going to make sure that the Beis Din paskens like you? You're going to go up to a judge outside the context of court and say, you know what, it's really not right. So-and-so owes me money. And it's really wrong. And now, why is that okay so far? Why? Because the person listening is what? Not yet. The judge. So let's say you daven at a minyan with a judge on Shabbos. Court does not convene on Shabbos. And after a minyan, you go over to the judge and you say, I had a really tough week at work. I was ripped off. And then lo and behold, on Monday morning, there you are with your buddy from minyan. And you essentially replay the story that you did in shul, you know. Right? So, says the Rama. Oh, what do you mean? So how do you see a connection to Lashon Hara? What do you mean? Why was there no practical purpose, though? Where was Lashon Hara? Meaning, I think I'm right. What do you mean?
No, of course you're right.
Lashon
Hara was always
right. So, but why is that
Lashon
Hara, though?
Because there was no... Why would I tell you on Shabbos that someone cheated? What's the point?
Yeah, good.
There's no reason for you to know that piece of
information. Unless I'm trying to convince you that I'm right, and you're going to paskin like me in court.
But then
you're puzzled to be a judge. All right. So says the Rama, V'davka she yodeya hadayin sheyiyeh dayin b'davar. It's only usher for the judge to listen to you when the other guy's out in the room if he knows he's the judge. However, im shama tainosa echad, if I'm listening to Peter, hear me, and he's really dramatic, he's telling me a sob story, and I don't even know I'm the judge yet, so I haven't done anything wrong, and then you know what? Afterwards, nisratza ashen l'dil l'fanav, Adam finally says, you know what, we'll go to court and we'll go to Mandelstam. We'll go to Mandelstam.
He should then recuse himself at that point.
No, it doesn't have to.
Am I still allowed to be the judge?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, you're going to say recuse yourself, but halakhically, as long as he didn't know he's going to be the judge, then he's not accepting the hearsay or whatever it is as analyzing the taina. So there's no, he's not thinking, I have to make a decision about this.
Yeah, going to affect him now.
No, it won't affect him now because he won't. Because we'll be the judge.
Good.
Am I wrong?
The Ramah is Mekel. The Ramah is Mekel. Now the question is, why is the Ramah Mekel? He is quoting who? In the Shulchan Aruch, he's quoting the Maharil. Oof, this is difficult, right? So can anyone try to figure out why that's okay? Why that's okay? Why would it okay? Why was Peter not right there? Right there it is. Machlok is Peter versus Avi. And Peter says, but when I listened, right, I was already brainwashed. Yeah, how can I become the judge?
But you're only allowed to not hear it if you're a judge.
Right. So Adam says on a very dry, litvish halachic level, the bottom line is the Torah is speaking to judges. So all the while that I'm not officially a judge, there's no isser. So there's no isser. But it says...
He's a judge.
There's something going on, right?
He won't argue his case properly because psychologically he's messed up. That is halacha. Wouldn't this apply here too? If the guy knew that, he goes, oh, he's got somebody.
So we're going to... Excellent. We're going to hear the Aruch HaShulchan's elaboration on this halacha. Very good. Very good, sir. Very good. Okay, now, by the way, in secular court, even in now, there is such a concept, by the way, that a judge cannot hear partial information without the other person in the room. I forgot what it's called. I'll tell you that story soon.
How about a juror?
Oh, gosh, that would be much worse. You're saying a juror. Yeah, I hope the court systems are set up for this stuff. But Rabbi Jachter, I'll tell you now. So, you know, I learned the sugya to prepare the shiur, but you never know how things look practically if you're not in the business. So, you know, I'm not a judge. I'm certainly not well-versed in Choshen Mishpat. So I called Rabbi Jachter to talk this out with him. He's a very experienced dayan. And he said, oh, we do this all the time. He said, this comes up all the time. We never, ever listen to anything until both Bali Din are in the room. And he said, it's also in secular court. And he quoted it on the spot. And I looked it up in Google. And I lost it somehow. I don't know how I lost it. I don't remember Xing it. It had some Latin, it was very fancy. I was very excited about it. It was like normal English with like an extra E at the end. I was all excited. I was so excited to quote it this evening to sound like a little bit smarter than I am. You know, that's why I don't dive in at the main minion. You know, I don't do the pulpit stuff. But it was a cool expression. I'll have to get it from him later. Now, Velo here says they're Magan. Again. You can't wink to one of the Baalei Din and say, or by the way, I'm not gonna pause skin, but wink, wink, I'm gonna tell you my opinion. So the same Ramah that said that before you're a judge, you're allowed to listen and then become a judge, is now going 180 and say, no. If you're a chacham, and if you got your head on your shoulders, don't speak with one of the two parties who have a court case, because they're going to manipulate you. They're going to use your information, and then they're going to learn how to lie. They're going to, ooh. The judge was really emphasizing one of the points I made. I'm going to make sure to really play up that point in court. Or the judge didn't really value that point I made, so I'm going to make sure, maybe I'll delete that. He's essentially using the chacham as a trial and error, pun unintended. He's going to be using the chacham as a rehearsal. So you can't just give your opinion if it's going to lead to a manipulation of a conspiracy of a negative outcome. Wow. The guy, Mishum, and guess what's going to happen? Let's say I tell, Reuven, you're telling me a pretty convincing argument. I think the halacha is like you, Reuven. And I tell Reuven that I think he's right. But then all of a sudden, Shimon comes out of nowhere in an actual court, and then I look like a fool. Says the Ramah, afterwards, Shimon's going to come, and then I'm going to have to go back on my word, V'ikah zilusa l'chacham. Then I'm no longer a reputable rabbi, right? My reputation is no longer what it should be, because I was too quick to side with Reuven before I heard Shimon. So even though I didn't really paskin like Reuven, the Ramah seemingly says that you know, if you're a chacham, you know, we don't talk to Baalei Din unless the other one is in the room. He says, "V'lo yichtam shum psak," and then he says, "Don't even to give your opinion without a psak." That's a very crucial piece of information here in the Ramah. Even just to lend your opinion is just it's unadvisable. Wow. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch concludes. That was the Ramah. Now Stuart, this is going to also connect to something you said. Chayin baladin muzer alkach. So just like the judges, we know is commanded about these things also. The two Baalei Din cannot, lend their case, cannot say their case unless the other person is in the room. Now here's a funny situation. The Talmud Sheyesh Lo Din Lefnei Rabbo. Let's say I have a court case and the judge is my Rebbe. So I can't go to court early to schmooze with my Rebbe. What's that going to look like? It's going to look like what? Like I'm setting it up with my Rebbe that, oh, we're going to practice how to lie and how to make sure I win the case. No. However, if I always have a chavrusa with my Rebbe at 12 p.m. and the court case is at 12:30, so that's okay. Right, I'm allowed to learn with my Rebbe before the court case. But certainly, it reminds me of what Stuart was saying, that if the person up against me in court comes into the courtroom and sees me buddy with the judge, that's gonna completely deflate his case, his confidence, So, all right, let's try to now expand a bit, because until this point we've learned somewhat of a straightforward sugya. The Ramah was the first one to expand it, namely where he said that if you weren't yet a judge, you can listen, but then he went 180 and said don't ever lend your halachic opinion unless you hear both sides of the story. So the Ramah also wrote what's called a Darche Moshe. That's his commentary on the Sefer of the Tur, and he actually quotes the Mordechai quoting this Takana Shatikain Rash mi Vin. Could be Rav Shmuel, Rav Shlomo from Vin. I don't know if that's Vienna.
Yeah.
It is Vienna. Okay, it's Vienna. So I don't know who the Rash from Vienna is, was. But apparently, Im Gedolei Eretz. So I don't know exactly all of the Rabbanim in Vienna. I don't exactly know who this takana was formulated by, but there was such a takana that was made, and that was the takana as follows. Any Rav, Kol Rav, Sheyifsog Din, that gives a psak din, Belish Shmias Beis Bale Din. If you were too quick to give the judgment, and you didn't yet hear both sides, you didn't hear Reuven and Shimon, you only heard Reuven, and you know what you said to him? You heard only Reuven. V'yomar tishma divrei. Reuven said, listen to me. V'ksavli ha'nir bedazcha. He said, man, listen to him. Give me your opinion. V'yichtov ha'dayan ahu. And I gave Reuven my opinion. I gave it to him. Lo yadun shum din. Not only am I disqualified to Paskin and Reuven and Shimon's case, I'm a disqualified judge. I lost my license, so to speak. Because why? Because Reuven said, man, listen, can you at least give me your opinion? I want your rabbinical advice. And I gave it to him in writing. Passels my smicha. Wow. So again, that's the Rama and the Darchei Moshe. Wow. All right, so let's see. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just being, You're correct. Stuart corrects me. It means he cannot be a dime. Cannot be a dime. All right, now. That, you know, really hammers home the point. We'll learn how this halacha is presented in the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll try to be a little bit radical just for a second, and then we'll dismiss it. All right. So, we'll throw on the other side of the sugya, and then quickly run away from it. All right. There is the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, of course, the pasuk, and he quotes the basic dinim. All right. Now, why do I want to quote you this Aruch HaShulchan? Because he adds 2 points. He clarifies on 2 things. Once I hear Reuven's claim, before I ever hear Shimon, you know what? I can't listen to Shimon the same way anymore. You know why? The Aruch HaShulchan has a lashon of once I heard it, I can't unhear it. Very well said, Rav. But he says, "The she had died in Bedavar." I'm sorry. Oh, im achar ze nisrat sheni. Where is it? I want to get it. I want to get it exactly like he said. I liked his lashon. Oh, here I found it. Ki taina sharisho nikba belibo. That's the lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan, meaning. It's already in your heart. Once you hear Reuven's side on Monday, by Tuesday, you're already, that's the way you view the case. Wow. So that's, I like the way he phrased that. But what's that case of the Ramah where Peter tells me his sob story and I believe him, but I wasn't yet a judge? Why am I then allowed to become the case? You know why? Because Adam knows that I already heard it, says the Aruch HaShulchan. So Peter and Adam have a court case, monetary disputes. V'im achar zeh nisratz hasheni rashai liyozdayim b'davar. Why am I allowed to still judge Peter's case, even though I heard Peter's case off the record? Dekevin shezeh kibel alav lo gara mikapalas kar rapaz. Because you know what you're getting yourself involved with, Adam. You say, okay, I'll accept Mandelstam as the judge, even though he's Peter's buddy, because I'm mochel, essentially. In the same way that you can accept a judge who's maybe a relative of Peter's. Meaning you have the ability to sign up for it, Adam. V'od a second logical explanation. When I listened to Peter, I wasn't yet a judge. So therefore what? I wasn't listening with a judge's ears. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, lo nikbu advarm belibo shita achareim. Umishu, you know, it wasn't like I was listening as a judge. If we're just having some schnapps at the Kiddush, and he's telling me a sob story. Okay, I think you're right. Now, Peter, yeah, you're right. But I wasn't listening with a professional ear. So Adam knows, okay, yeah, but when Mandelstam listens to me in the context of being a dayan, He's going to give Peter a full ear and realize there's a flaw with his taina. He's going to give me a full ear, and a judge sitting in a judge's chair has a different perspective than off the record. Okay, so that explains why the Rama was lenient. Again, why did the Rama allow for me to hear you off the record and then become the judge? Because when I heard you off the record originally, either Adam accepted it, you know, he took his chances despite the fact that he knew the judge was connected to the other party involved, or alternatively, it's because I wasn't listening with the same headset as a judge. How am I doing? Making sense? Stuart? Logical? Like it. Okay. All right, now the Rama in a tshuva, though, points out something very, very, very important. A Talmud came to him. And now we need to start speaking about the exceptions to the rule. Talmud came to the Rama. And the Rama starts this tshuva by speaking about something along the lines of the din of kavod of a Talmud, right? You know, the Rebbe has to mechaber the Talmidim. And this Talmud had, unfortunately, a issue of nachal, of Yerusha, with his wife. His wife had passed away, and there was a shaila, a dispute of who would inherit her property, seemingly something along those lines. And this Talmud of the Rama came to the Rama, arguing his case. Now, what should the Rama have done? He should have said, shh, I can't listen to you right now. If I listen to you without the people you're disputing, I'm disqualified to be a judge. I can't listen to you. But the Rama listened to him and, in fact, coached him and gave him advice. Why is that okay? Oh, you could say, well, he wasn't a dime. But argues the Rama different. This is the Rama Tshuva. So this is different because you know what? This is not a dispute between Reuven and Shimon. This is a dispute about what is the law in Nachala. Meaning, what does the Torah have to say about inheritance? There's an objective Torah truth here. And says the Rama, I have a responsibility as a rabbi to show him the halacha. I was telling him, listen, there's a Rama in Shulchan Aruch, like you, or, you know, or there's a Rambam like you. Says the Rama, he needed to know what does the Torah say. He needed to be given ammo, given some helpful information about how to navigate the halacha. It wasn't Reuven versus Shimon. It was, what are the dinim of Nachala? At the same time, was this person up against other people in the Torah? He was, right? But argues the Rama, that's not called Reuven versus Shimon. That is a case about what is the din Nachala. Now, is that a fine line or is that very clear?
But was the Rama the judge?
No, of course not. No.
What's the problem at all? Right.
So,
Reuven versus Shimon should be no problem.
Right, you want to say. Right, no, but a judge.
No,
because it's usher for. Right, well, again, he certainly said it's not advisable to do that. Right, very good. So you want to argue that maybe it wasn't the judge.
But if you were the cracker at the time, you were the best, and you're up against the Rama's student, and you
Us, you know, maybe he was the judge. He says, because again, he's apologetic in his tshuva. He says, it's usher for a dying to hear the tainas echad kodem shishma tainas chavero. I mean, he viewed this scenario as, yeah, he must have been involved because he viewed the shaila as problematic in light of this halacha. Meaning, you know, why am I allowed to listen to my Talmud tell me his side of the story first? And he said it's okay because I just needed to kind of show him what the Torah says. But it wasn't Reuven versus Shimon. Right. Right.
So I don't understand what the
Havamina
is, that
it isn't problem. Well, I'll tell you why. We're talking about money here, right? We're talking about who's going to inherit the land, right? So it's pretty similar. Right. So again, Stuart, that the reason I think you're so clear on it is because the Rama says it's the same thing as asking a rabbi a bus or a chalav shaila. But at the same time. Yeah.
Aren't cases discussed,
okay. Okay. So number one, yeah, we're talking about monetary disputes. So, all right. So it should be noted. Let's just make some points of conclusion in the last 2 minutes. The Ramaz thought that what he did was okay. By the way, the other side of the coin, to be more lenient like this Ramah, is found in the Shailas of Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, and they ironically bring a case from the Torah of the Benos Slavchad, where exactly this case, where the Benos Slavchad were arguing to Moshe. Now, they were technically arguing for land against their uncle, and you don't find that Moshe said, I can't listen to the Benos Slavchad unless their uncle is also in the room, so I hear both sides of the coin. Right? Meaning, essentially, it's a Basar V'chalav Shaila. It's the same way you ask Hilcha Shabbos Shaila. It's not Reuven versus Shimon, but it is a little bit like Reuven versus Shimon, because if Reuven wins, Shimon doesn't get the land. Yeah. Very good. Very good. What was clear to the Ramah is clear to Stuart, that it's not Reuven versus Shimon. It's just, what does the Torah say objectively? Good. So the Shvus Yaakov in that Shuvah does say that people were basically meikel on the Salacha, and it was essentially very common for Dayanim to hear one side of the story first before they heard the second side of the story. People were more lenient. Yee. But the Shvus Yaakov himself says, but I would not recommend it. And nowadays the people are corrupt, etc. They're going to use it against, you know, So even though there is, like I'm saying, there's like a radical other side of the Sugya, we're quickly going to dismiss it. Because when I called Rabbi Jachter, he said, this comes up all the time. He said, you never let anyone say a peep until both people are in the room. He said, even in TABC, people come to him all the time. Two students are arguing over a monetary dispute or who knows what, you know. And he says, I don't let anyone say anything to me unless both of them are in the room. So that's what he said. So clearly we take this very, very seriously. And this is, again, only monetary law. You know, based in is limited. They would always send a criminal law to a secular court. They can't, you know, convict anyone to prison or anything like that. You know, that's not generally what will it's not going to be binding, essentially, in modern-day Beis Din. But in monetary law, Rabbi Jachter said this is extremely practical, and this is how Beis Din does function nowadays. But I thought just to conclude, B'divrei Hashkafa, that we live in such a crazy, loud world with everyone feels so liberal to express their own opinion, and you never really hear the other side of the story because people who are just so quick to post their opinion and be louder, they're the ones you hear. Yet the Torah says that's sheker. It's not called sheker only when you lie. What's also called sheker is when you only hear half the story. And the standards of our Torah, the standard is that when you hear half a story, that's called sheker. And Rahman al-Aslan, in our generation, there's so many stories where we're only hearing half the story. And, you know, it only takes 2 seconds to meet Shimon and just to realize how quick you were to make that conclusion and how fast people's lives, Rahman al-Aslan, could be ruined when you only hear half the side of the story. So, Bez Hashem, we should all be zocha to be patient, to live with the midos of not being so quick to judge people, realizing that there are two sides to everyone, two sides to everything. And again, obviously, when it's clear, but you know, we shouldn't be quick to jump to conclusions. And we should all be a zocha to make calculated, slow, proper judgment as we navigate through this challenging world. All right, my friends, let's have a mark.